Do you ever feel like you're living in some sort of a Groundhog's Day? My husband and I have this running thing. He's like, oh gosh, it feels like we're living in some sort of a Groundhog's Day. It's the same routines, the same boring routines over and over again. We wake up in the morning, we wake up at the same time, we get the kids ready for school, we get their breakfast ready, get them dressed, where's your shoes, where's your shoes, where's your shoes, put your shoes on, why don't you have your shoes on anymore? Why don't you have them on yet? You know, get the car running, get them in the thing, you know, do those same routines all day long. You get off work, you get dinner ready, you do a little homework. Oh my goodness, it's time to go take a shower, 5-minute shower. And, you know, we got to be in bed by 8:30 only to start the same routine over and over again. So it's like sometimes we look at each other and it's just like, oh, this routine is killing us. It just seems like Groundhog's Day. Well, I don't know if you've seen the movie or not, but where we came up with this old idea that we're trapped in some sort of a Groundhog's Day, there was a comedy film in 1993 that came out starring Bill Murray and Andy McDowell. Murray plays this egocentric Pittsburgh TV weatherman who absolutely despises Groundhog's Day. There's an annual event that goes on and he has to go cover it and, you know, tell whether or not the groundhog saw his shadow or not. Every year they put him on this event and every year he complains about it. Well, on this particular year, when the alarm clock goes off the next day, he finds out, guess what? He's trapped in the day he hates. Every day the alarm clock goes off and it's Groundhog's Day, February 2nd, every single day. Instead of, you know, he just goes crazy. He's like, you know, he's repeating the same day over and over again. He becomes crude. He becomes rude. He becomes socially unacceptable. He kidnaps people. He even kills the groundhog. And at some point, he's so annoyed that he has to relive the same day over and over again that he attempts suicide. And you know, it just gets to the point, and then one day he has some, you know, semi-deep talk with one of the characters, and he says, you know what? He re-examines his life. He re-examines his life, he re-examines his priority, and he decides that he's going to make the most out of this repeat day, and he's going to try to improve his life and improve himself. And we go on this journey with him as he starts to change. He starts to be self-aware, but also aware of others around him. He pays attention. He learns from the experiences of the day. He learns about people and what their needs are. And he takes the knowledge and the experience to help people around the town. He becomes a helper. He becomes loving. He becomes Christ-like. He changes his outlook on this day, on reliving this day, and ultimately, because he changed his outlook, he changed his actions. He made the most out of each day, in even though there was very similar things that went on the repeat Groundhog's Day. He learned new things. He learned to play the piano. He even ice sculpted, and he learned to speak French. So, you know, when I look at this character that Bill Murray plays, and I see there's a lot of things that we all have in common with his character. One of them is that many of us have routine lives. Everything becomes routine. We become robotic and boring in our behaviors, almost ignoring the people around us and just going from one step to the other step. So like he relives the same day over and over, we seem to live the same way over and over, and our response to people and situations and things that come our way are somewhat robotic and numbing. The second thing we have in common with Murray's character is that we are all self-centered. We are born self-centered. But, you know, some of us think, well, what does that mean? What exactly does self-centered mean? Well, the Webster's Dictionary actually defines self-centered as someone who is concerned solely or chiefly with their own interests. They're egotistical. They're centered in oneself or itself. There are also two words underneath this definition that really struck me. One is fixed. The second word was unchanging. And you know, I can often tell you that self-centered people are often set in their ways. They refuse to change, and they often play the blame game. I'm sure that you've all had people in your lives that way. It becomes all about them, their feelings, their emotions, their depressions, and they just become very self-centered. The fourth thing we have in common with him is that many of us keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again in our lives. It seems that the lessons appear in different forms through different events in our life because we are not learning from our mistakes. We are not paying attention to the cause and effect in our lives. We keep doing the same things and we're getting the same results and we're oblivious to it. And what happens is God just keeps presenting these lessons until we get it, because he sees that, you know, what we could be, sees our full potential, and he just wants his children to learn from their mistakes and to grow and be better spiritually. I've heard some people say, you know, some things just never seem to go my way. Well, the key in that sentence is the word my way. Instead of allowing God to lead the way, oftentimes we try to take control over our lives, and that's just it. We don't have control over our lives. But you know what? God has control over our lives. We just have to allow him to lead the way. So let us consider the word centered. You know, self-centered is one thing, but being centered is not necessarily negative. But when you combine the two, it is. So let's look at Webster's dictionary for the word center. Center is a point around which anything rotates or revolves. The example in the Webster's dictionary says the sun is the center of the solar system. Now, let's just rethink this for a second. Instead of S-U-N, let's think S-O-N. If the sun is the center of our universe, he becomes our personal solar system. He should be the source of influence in our lives. Christ should be the source of influence in our lives. The source we go to for every single problem, event, and decision, we should lean on the sun and let the sun be the center of our universe, S-O-N. If we focus on our own interests, if we stop focusing rather on our own interests and we put our emotion and our energy on Christ and we make him the center of our entire life and we really pray about what he wants for us, not what we want for ourselves, but what he wants for us, things seem to change. Now you might ask yourself, what does it mean to be Christ-centered? What does it mean to have a Christ-centered life and not a self-centered life? Well, the first thing is that we must love one another. And it says the commandment, there's a commandment in the Bible, John 15:12, it says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." You have to love those who are easy to love, and you have to love those who are not so easy to love. You see, Jesus loved those who were real easy to love and those who weren't. So I know that's tough, but one of the first things we really have to make an effort is to really love one another the way that Christ loves us. The second thing that will help us lead a Christ-centered life is that we must forgive. Forgiving, even when we have every right to not forgive someone. The Bible tells us forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ has forgave you, so also do ye. So basically what that means is Christ has forgiven you and you must forgive others. The other thing, the third thing that we can do to lead a Christ-centered life is we need to open our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to change us. that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We have to let Christ work inside of us. If we don't allow the Holy Spirit in and allow him to change us, and those two words that were in the Bible, I'm sorry, in the Webster's Dictionary, that says, you know, that unchanging. If you're self-centered, you're unchanging. And if you are willing to, if you're not willing to change or allow the Holy Spirit to change you, you are not going to be able to live a Christ-centered life. And you know what? Your life is, you're going to feel that. You're going to feel the effects of living a self-centered life and not a Christ-centered life. And it's not good. When we love one another, we try harder in our relationships. We put down those cell phones, those laptops, those texts, and those emails. We put down the work and the hobbies that come before our families. We start paying attention, real attention, to the needs of our family and friends. We begin to really and truly love each other the way Christ loves us. Forgiveness frees us and stops us from being trapped in the past. And I can tell you from myself that for many, many years, I lived with anger on my heart. I lived with unforgiveness on my heart. My dad and I had an 11-year estranged relationship. I had nothing to do with him, and he had nothing to do with me for over 11 years, nothing. But I will tell you that the day that I forgave my dad and he forgave me, it was absolutely liberating. And the gift was that not only that day did I get a new relationship, or the start of a new and renewed relationship with my earthbound father, but for the first time in my life, I understood what giving somebody unconditional forgiveness means. And I understood God's forgiveness of us. He doesn't say, "Shay, why did you do the things that you did? Why did you do this and why did you do that?" If you go to him and you confess to him and you say you're sorry and you ask for forgiveness, he grants you that forgiveness. He shows us grace. He gives us grace, and he hands it to us on a silver platter. And with the day that I forgave my dad, I will tell you, I finally understood God's forgiveness of us. And I felt closer to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, than I ever have in my entire life, because I understood him and the power of that forgiveness that he gives us. So I'll tell you that when you forgive, you're the one that's going to get something out of it. It is absolutely liberating and freeing, and you feel teary-eyed because you feel so much closer to God, and it just, something lifts off your shoulders and you feel great. The other things that we really need to focus on is that we need to try to not be so stubborn. We can't be so fixed and set in our ways. We have to be willing to change. We have to want change. We have to open our hearts for what God wants for us in our lives. And we have to let the Holy Spirit change us and have complete faith in the power that God can have in our lives. He can transform us. He can transform somebody who might have extreme anger, somebody who might be a drinker, somebody that might have an eating disorder. There is nothing that God can't do. We just have to have faith that he does it, and we have to be willing to allow him to change us. So when you look at the word self-centered, under that in the Webster's Dictionary, there are two words that really struck me. One is root, the other is foundation, and the other one is lineage. Christ should be the foundation of your life. He is the one true thing that can ground you. And your lineage, you know, when I think about this, I think about, when I die, what do I want people to remember me for? Do I want people to remember that I'm the mom that was always on my laptop and I shut the door to my office and I refused to play with my kids, that chores came first, and that that it was more important to get the laundry done than to roll on the floor with your child or play dress up with your baby girl? Absolutely not. Do you want to be the kind of husband that would rather play golf with his guys or his buddy or watch football and refuses to hang out with his wife doing something that she might want to do because you love her? Do you want to be remembered as someone who always talks about yourself, about your own interests, about your own problems, about your own depression? Or do you want to be remembered as someone who is truly loving and Christ-like? You know, you don't want to be remembered as that person who would rather be looking for the next text instead of spending quality time with the ones that you love around you. Unless you're texting God for help, or you're reading the text of the word, put down the text. Pay attention to those people around you. We only get one shot at this life. Be attentive and truly see your children. Truly see your spouse. I'm telling you, this morning I prayed over the Bible for this first discussion that I was going to put on my blog. And God landed me on the page of Luke 6:43-49. Jesus teaches us about the fruit in people's lives in this passage, and he also teaches us about those who build their house on the rock instead of sand. The sum of what's in this passage of Luke 6 is that whatever is in your heart will come out as speech and behavior. The good man brings good things out of good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. So if you allow Jesus into your heart, good things are going to happen in your life. The passage about building your home on a rock, or the foundation of your home on a rock, means that when the storms of life come, and they will come, when we have our whole life and our whole foundation is God, when God is the center of our circle and of our universe, we will stand strong through anything that life throws at us, because we know that God has a purpose, a greater purpose and a greater good for everything that happens to us. So I like the Bill Murray movie, on Groundhog's Day. We have a choice. We can stay frustrated. We can stay robotic. We continue to be oblivious to the needs and the wants of those who are around us. And we can continue to live our lives the same way, doing the same things over and over again and making the same mistakes over and over again. Or we can center our lives and give our lives over to Christ. Allow Him and the Holy Spirit to enter our hearts. Just ask your life coach for help. God is your life coach. Then it's not enough just to pray about it, but once He speaks to your spirit, I want you to write down your goals for yourself. Put those positive goals into actions. Take it one step at a time, one day at a time, and try to do actions that's going to make you a better person. Because with God's help, you too can change like Bill Murray in the movie Groundhog's Day. Now let us end with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all the blessings in our life. Dear Lord, we get caught up in the Groundhog's Day of life, the routine of being a parent. We get frustrated in our relationships. It becomes just the same old, same old. We ask, Lord, that you help us to become everything you want us to be. Open our eyes to those who are around us. Help us, Lord, to forgive those who have trespassed against us, even when they don't deserve it. Lord, help us live like you lived on this earth. Help us to be all that we can be, and help us love the way that you loved. We are weak, Lord, and we know that we cannot do any of this without you. So we ask that you be in our lives, that you help us each day, and you help us set goals for ourselves and help us take baby steps in our marriages, in our relationships, and in our life. We ask all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.